So this evening I want to talk to you about a subject that I think is so important for us. And my message is entitled, Don't Worry. So let's just dive right in and see what the Lord does. Amen? Man. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The Bible is so clear in so many places, and we're going to look at this evening, that our burdens, our worries, our anxieties, we should give them to him. In life, probably the thing that worries us the most is, will God sustain us? Will we have everything that we need? And we know this because it's spoken of time and time again in Scripture. And the truth is that Scripture clearly says over and over that, yes, he will take care of us. Yes, he will sustain us. In this Scripture, he says, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6. This is a very popular Scripture. It says, be anxious for a few things. It says, be anxious for nothing. And I know that everybody in this building is never anxious. But the truth is it's a command from the Lord that we shouldn't be anxious. We shouldn't stress out. We shouldn't worry. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in other words, when you have moments where you feel that anxiety coming on, bring your prayers and your supplications with thanksgiving to God. Bring those requests, bring those things to him, instead of getting into a state and beginning to wonder and worry about what might happen or what is happening. Come before God. And I love the way it says, come with thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is a form of humility. And when we come before him with a form of humility and trust in him, how many of you know he answers our prayers? Come on, it says, let your requests be made known to God. So it's not that you can't talk to him about what you're dealing with. It's not that you can't discuss with him what you're going through. He already knows exactly what you're feeling. He already knows exactly what's going on, but what he wants to see is, how are you going to handle it? How are you and I going to handle the things that could potentially cause us to step into a form of anxiety, into a form of fear perhaps, or perhaps it's worry? How many of you here never worry? Good, that's awesome. I mean, you know, some of us worry less than others, and some of us worry a lot. And the reality is that we shouldn't worry according to Scripture. And we kind of laugh about it, but the truth is it's actually so important. Because the reality is when we step into a situation of anxiety and worry, what we're saying is we don't have faith or we don't trust God. That's why so many times in Scripture it tells us, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Do not fear. We see it over and over in Scripture. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says this, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Why should we do that? Why does he want us to do that? Because he cares for us. We should cast our cares, our worries, our concerns. We should cast them on him because he cares for you and I. Can you say amen? You know, one of the most popular messages in Scripture, and probably one of the passages of Scripture that's spoken of, I could say, the most in some instances, is the Sermon on the Mount. So if you study it, Matthew 5 to Matthew 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And it's an extremely popular section of Scripture because Jesus teaches us how to live in the kingdom. Matthew 6, 25, let's go there. We'll read a few verses and then we'll talk about it this evening. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not so much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. It's interesting that in just those few verses, the word worry is mentioned 6 times. And I think the message is clear that the Lord wants us to get is that as believers in the kingdom, we mustn't worry. I really believe that one of the things that makes people ill is worrying. And so many times we worry about things that never happen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you committed a crime. I don't know what it is. And you worry about what's going to happen. And how many of you know that even sometimes when the sentence doesn't go the way you want or the situation doesn't go the way you want, how many times is it not as bad as what you thought it would be? And how many times do you worry about a situation and it doesn't even go badly at all, but yet you were sick about what would happen? Come on, I don't know about you, but I can surely say that in my own life, it's happened to me many times that I'm worrying about something. I'm worrying about something that I think might happen or might not happen, and I stress myself out and I can't sleep at night or something like that, and then it never happens. So that's why the Bible is so clear that we shouldn't worry, that he's in control. He's got everything in control. And I've seen, even in the lives of good, God-loving Christians that are faithful, good people, they suffer with anxiety or with worry. Worrying about stuff that will probably never even happen. And one of the areas where most of us will worry in some way is, are we going to be taken care of? Are we going to have enough? Well, I'm here to tell you this evening that you serve the God of more than enough. I'm so glad you're clapping, because you're going to have to keep clapping this evening. Amen. So the first point I want to make this evening is that worrying doesn't change anything. I want you to understand that if you're in a situation where you potentially could experience some form of anxiety because of a situation that can happen, how much is that anxiety or worry going to be able to help you? It's not going to help you at all. In fact, Matthew 6:27 tells us, look at what it says. It says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I want to read this in the Amplified version so you kind of fully get it. Matthew 6:27 in the Amplified says, and who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure or cubit to his stature or to the span of his life? The reality is your worrying is not going to extend your days. Your worrying is not going to cause you to grow. It's going to cause you to go the opposite way. So one thing can be guaranteed about worrying. That is that you're not going to... Are you guys with me? It's not going to change anything. Worrying isn't going to change anything. All right. The second thing I want you to see tonight is that God knows exactly what you need. You need to understand, we need to understand that God knows exactly what we need. Matthew 6:32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, what things? Everything we need. Food, clothes, homes. Well, God doesn't care about that stuff. Oh, no, he does. He knows you need them. Are you guys with me? The Bible tells us that he knows what we need. The Bible says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So don't worry about them, because worrying's not going to change anything. And he knows what you need, so don't worry about what you need, because he knows what you need. So how do we guarantee that we're going to get what we need? Who of you would like to know, how can we be guaranteed that we're going to get what we need? So the good thing about this passage of Scripture is that he literally spells out for us the solution, or the way that we can guarantee that we don't have to worry about what we need or what's going to happen, and that we can be guaranteed that our Father in heaven knows what we need and he will give us what we need. So let's read it. Let's go to verse 33. It says this. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Food, clothes, a home, stuff, things that we need to live our lives and to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has for us. The key to it is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then that stuff that we need will be added to us. So don't worry about anything, because you don't need to worry. He says don't worry about anything. Worrying's not going to solve the problem. Are you with me? He already knows what you need. And then he says to us, listen, if you want to know how to guarantee that this will work, what you have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then those things that you're worried about, that you don't need to worry about, will be added to you. Okay, it's not rocket science. We get it. Amen. So the first thing we have to do is we have to seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do this? The first thing I want to say in this, because this is a very large topic, and really I could do a sermon series on it, but we're just going to touch on something tonight just briefly, because I want to show you how simple it can actually be. The first thing when it comes to seeking the kingdom of God first is that, how many of you believe it entails putting God first? It encompasses putting God first, his kingdom first, his ways first, his word first, putting him first. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God first, with all your heart, with all your soul. Then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But first we put God. Are you guys with me? So we put him first in everything. We put his ways first. We put his word first. We put God first in everything. I sat and thought about this. If there is one way that we can say, okay, God, if we put your kingdom first over everything else, what do we need to do? So let me ask you a question. In the natural, how do you know if you put something first or someone first? Okay. Time and money. Oh, it's quiet in Vero Beach. Come on, if I love my wife, I give her my time and I give her my money. If I love my children, I give them my time and they take all my money. I'm not kidding. The reality is, you can see by what I prioritize with what's important to me, which is my time and my money, by what's most important to me. It's very clear, very easy to see where I invest what's mine, the most important thing, my time and my finances, which I prioritize to what's most important. Don't get mad at me. The reality is that these two areas are so important. I was really thinking about this when I was just sort of going through my notes this afternoon, and I was thinking about time. You know, sometimes it's difficult to spend a lot of time with God because we have a lot of things going on. Do I think it's important to spend a lot of time with God? Yes, I do. I think it's a wonderful thing and a special thing to spend as much time with Him as you can. But what I think's most important is that you prioritize putting Him first. So in other words, what I mean by that is the first person you want to talk to, the first thing that comes in your mind is Him first, His ways, His word. So when I wake up in the morning, for example, the first thing I do when I open my eyes is I greet Him. I haven't even made it out of bed yet. I kind of worry about people because most people, when they wake up in the morning, they lie in bed and then they stay in bed. How do you do that? Like, friends, if my eyes aren't even open yet, I'm half out the bed because my brain just begins to go. So as soon as my brain switches on in the morning, I begin to speak to the Lord. That's just what happens every single morning. So what am I doing in the beginning of my day? As my day begins, I'm putting Him first. I'm giving Him priority. I'm prioritizing Him with my time. Now, I would love to every morning spend hours with Him, and some mornings I do, but some mornings it doesn't go as well as long as I'd like. So I'm not saying that you mustn't spend lots of time with Him, but what I am saying is make sure that you prioritize Him. Where? Like fourth or fifth? No, first. Prioritize God first. He should be the most important thing. Seek the kingdom. Seek His ways first. Are you with me? The second thing, and I know a lot of people were very quiet because of the second thing, is our finances. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Look at the context of what it says in Matthew and now in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Why? Why should we do that? So that your barns will be filled with plenty. What is that? That's everything I need. And that your vats will overflow with new wine. What is that? Everything I need. What am I doing? I'm putting Him first with my finances. I've made a decision with my time, with my life and my choices to choose Him first. I've also chosen to put Him first with my finances. It's interesting because if you read the context of this passage, just before verse 25, he says you can only serve one master. For you will either love the one and despise the other. And then he says you cannot serve God and Mammon. Now, whether we like to call Mammon any other kind of demon, you need to know that it's the demon of money. So money is without any doubt connected to your heart. The reality is, listen to me, church, because there's going to be a huge shift here at Oceans in the next few months. Because you need to decide in your heart what's first in your life. You need to decide what's most important to you. As your pastor, that I love, and I love you all so much, I want you to have the food, the clothes, the blessings, the overflowing. And I like the overflowing vats and barns filled with plenty. I like that, right? So as your pastor, in order for me to help you achieve those things, I need to teach you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that you should give Him your first fruits, that you should put Him first. Listen, when I read this, I get excited. Do you know why? Because I tithe. Because I give. Oh, you know, Pastor Alex, we don't need to give anymore. Okay, that's fine. I had one of my staff come to me a few months ago, and they were in big financial trouble. And they said to me, we're struggling. Or they actually didn't tell me, I found out. And what ended up happening was I asked them, do you tithe? And they said, no. I said, start tithing. They began to tithe. They're not in that same financial trouble anymore. Why? Because they put God first. Now, this is actually not my message, but when I saw this, I was like, man, this is really important. And I'm going to press it a little bit because I know that it's something that's sensitive to each and every one of us. But the reality is when we read that promise and we know we put Him first, we know we prioritize Him in our time, and then our finances as well. Where your treasure is, friends, that's where your heart is. Don't get mad at me. It's a few verses before this. What's the context? That That's why I can get excited. I can claim that promise. I know I put God first. And I know what it's like to not have and still put Him first. But we get upset as believers as soon as we begin to talk about this subject. And the truth is that as your pastor, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be anxious. But the condition is that you have to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Then it will be added to you. And so these are the things that we need to make sure about. Are we seeking the kingdom, to build the kingdom, to further the kingdom? Is our hearts there where our treasure is? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, the next part is just so powerful. He doesn't only say, seek first the kingdom. He also says something else. He says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness. Now, the reality is when we get saved, we are made righteous. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek to walk upright before God. That means that we should make choices that will lead us to walking in righteousness with God. In other words, if God says that I must do something, then I'm going to choose to do that. I choose to seek the Word of God, His righteousness, as my option over the options of the world. Are you guys with me? I was looking at this and again sort of praying and pondering over it. And it was amazing because we know we are righteous and we know that there's nothing we can do to be made righteous. But the Bible says something very powerful. It talks about the power of obedience over sacrifice. Let me read a scripture to you real quick. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to His voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." This story is so powerful because what's happened here is Saul has disobeyed God and now thinks that, listen, let's sacrifice 1,000 bulls. Let's do the sacrifices. And the reality is his heart is not obedient to God. And how many times in the church do we see the exact same thing? We choose not to be obedient to His word. Listen, I don't want you to worry. The Lord knows what you need. But how many times are we not experiencing that abundance? How many times are we not experiencing the provision, the breakthrough, the blessing that we want? Maybe you are seeking first the kingdom, but you are not seeking His righteousness. Maybe you've chosen to rather do something your own way and not choose God's way, which is the only way to experience the blessing. Over the last few years, it's been so difficult for me to watch people make bad choices. Really good people, people that love God, but somehow persuade themselves to accept something that isn't true. How can you be set free from something that isn't true if you believe that that is truth? That's not seeking righteousness. Who wants to not worry? Right? You don't want to worry. I don't want to worry. We don't want to worry. It's not that difficult. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It'll be added unto you. What does that mean? That means that, yes, we made righteous. Hallelujah. I'm cleansed. I'm washed. Even if I do make a mistake, I'm still cleansed. I'm still washed. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for me. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But you better believe that I'm going to get up and I'm going to change. I'm going to make a decision not to continue on. And what happens is someone begins to believe the lie. And when they begin to believe the lie, they don't experience the provision. They don't experience the breakthrough. Listen, 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 listen. I don't care how you dance in the church. I don't care how spiritual you are. The truth is you will not experience peace in your heart, provision and blessing, true provision and blessing, until you are obedient to Him. And then you can dance and be spiritual all you like. But it doesn't impress me. And I can tell you, if it doesn't impress me, and who am I? It doesn't impress Him. Our spirituality or the way we look is not impressive to Him. That's why the sacrifices, as wonderful as they are not as valuable as obedience. How many of you believe that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice? I want you to know that it was before absolute obedience. The sacrifice only came after total obedience, even to the point where Jesus was on the cross and said, "Lord, can you take this from me?" And then He said something so beautiful, "But not my will, but your will be done." In other words, listen, if it means that I have to be obedient even to the death, I'm going to choose that. So yes, you may go through times, but you must understand that suffering, that whatever it is you're going through, will only be for a moment. That the blessing comes, that renewal comes, that breakthrough comes. It will come to those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, yes. It's so funny, you guys are still mad about the tithing. So because of that, I'm going to tell you this. The righteousness is the same thing. Seek first His righteousness. If He says, give Him to Him first, then do it. If you aren't doing it, don't get mad at me. I'm doing it. Oh, Jesus, help me. Listen, I'm not complaining. We're a blessed church. That's not. I want to see you walk in the blessing. I want to see you walk in prosperity. Yes, prosperity. Prosperity is from the Lord. It's a good thing. I'm not talking about abuse of garbage. I'm talking about the truth of God's word. Prosperity. What does that look like? Overflowing vats. That looks like new wine. That looks like provision and protection. That looks like the blessing. That looks like more than enough. That's the God that we serve. He says, I know you need this stuff. I'm going to give it to you. Listen, I'm so good that I'm actually going to tell you three things you need to do. Two things, actually. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you got it. It's yours. It's yours. It's mine. So put Him first. Truth. Guys, choose truth. Even if it means you're going to look bad, choose truth. Someone says to you, well, you know, I heard you said this about me. Oh, I never said that. You liar, you. Choose truth, man. Be set free. Oh, I never did that. I'm not going to forgive them. I never did that. They accused me and I never did that. So you're going to hold on to what? Forgive. Let it go. Choose to walk in righteousness. Listen, your ways and ideas that can hold you bound, or walking in total freedom and blessing. It's our choice. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And it's a promise, guys. But most promises do have conditions. And these conditions are not difficult. But the reality is you have to make a choice of whether you're going to choose this or not. And I know there are some of you worrying. Listen, I've been dealing with stuff that I've worried about. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, what are you worried about? I'm in control. Just do what you need to do. Well, what do I need to do, Lord? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are you doing that, son? Yes, Lord, I'm doing that. Well, what are you worried about? I got nothing to worry about. Amen. Because as soon as you worry, where's your faith? Amen. And I felt this week as I was praying for you guys that there are so many that are suffering and struggling with all kinds of worry. And the truth is that we should cast our burdens unto Him, for He cares for us. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, because it's light and easy to bear. Did you know that when He said, take my yoke upon you, what He actually meant was that in the Old Testament time, the Jewish rabbis would teach. And what would happen was the students would come under that rabbi, and his teachings and interpretation of Torah was the yoke that they took on themselves. That's what that yoke means. It's not the yoke of an oxen. It actually means that they would choose his way of interpreting scripture and his way and of interpreting Torah, and they would be a student under him, and they would take that yoke on them. That's what it means. So what was Jesus saying? Take my yoke. It's not that hard. You can do this. Follow me. My yoke, my teachings, my interpretation is not that difficult. But obedience, guys, it's better than sacrifice. You want to experience the worrylessness, not worry. You want to experience breakthrough and knowing that God will take care of everything you need. Does He not take care of the grass? Does He not take care of the lilies? Does He not take care of the birds? So you too don't have to experience that stress and that worry. Take His yoke upon you. It's not difficult, but it still is your choice. We have to choose what we're going to do. We have to choose whether we're going to choose His ways, His kingdom, put it first or not. And if we do, we have nothing to worry about. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you this evening. That, Lord, it's so clear that you know what we go through when we worry. And you don't want us to worry or to be anxious, but rather to put our faith and our trust entirely on you. I thank you, Father, that your word says that tomorrow will take care of itself, that we have nothing to fear. So this evening in this place, I pray that we will cast our burdens upon you. The yoke that you have, Lord, it's a yoke of love and mercy. It's really what the gospel is all about. And your desire to be with us and to fellowship with us and to walk with you is so strong for us. So this evening I pray for everyone in this place, even those that are watching online. Father, I pray that they will give that worry over. We can't change the outcome anyway. So why do we worry about things that we have no control over? What I'm in control of is what you said we should do, which is to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Then what we need will be provided. And I know that you are not a man that you should lie, that your word is true. It's yes and amen. And so we stand on this promise this evening, each and every one of us. And Lord, we come. And we give that burden to you. We give that situation. We give that situation in our marriage. We give that situation in our job. We give that situation with a family member. We give that situation, Father, of what we need, Father. We give it to you, that business situation. Whatever it might be, we give it to you this evening. And we take your yoke, Lord. We take your word, Father. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We are so grateful, Lord. We are so grateful tonight in this place. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, right now that you would begin to move over the people. Father, those that have been struggling and worrying, those that have suffered from anxiety, Lord, that you would give them supernatural peace this evening. That they can be guaranteed if they seek you first, if they seek first the kingdom and your righteousness, it will be provided. It'll be taken care of. You'll do it. The outcome will be one of blessing. Even bad situations, you turn around for the good, Lord. And I'm so grateful for it this evening. We are so thankful this evening. If you're sitting here this evening and you have a burden, you have a worry, I don't want to call you to the front, but I want right there where you are, I want you to tell the Lord what it is and tell him that you're going to give it to him. What it is, whatever it is that you're worrying about, just give it to him. Just give it to him. Just say, Lord, this situation, this thing that's been worrying me, I give it to you. I give it to you. Just give it to him right now. Hallelujah. Just take a moment and just give him your worries. Give him your fears. Give him your anxieties. Hand them over to him this evening. And say to him, Lord, I choose you. I choose your kingdom. I choose your righteousness. I pursue you. I come after you. I desire you. I desire your ways. I desire your truth. I desire you, Lord Jesus. I desire you, Holy Spirit. Let's begin to worship for just a moment. Just cast your burdens unto him this evening. Cast your worries. Cast your anxieties. Cast your fears. Give them to him this evening. You don't have to leave here this evening with that worry, with that anxiety. If you're watching online, you don't have to carry that burden anymore. Just give it to the Lord. He is your provider. He is your provider. He will take care of you. He will bless you. He will bless you. He will bless you. Come on, just begin to worship right there where you are. Come on, guys, let's sing something.
Holy King.
So, Father, this evening in this place, we are so grateful that you love us so much, Lord, that you have done everything for us so that we can experience your presence, we can experience your provision, your protection, your blessing in our lives. Father, you said in your word that you would give us everything that we need. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then it will be added to us. So this evening in this place, we choose to follow you with our whole hearts, to put you first, Lord. And Father, I pray that every person, even under the sound of my voice, even watching online, Father, that you will just break any oppression off them right now. Father, any force of darkness that has brought worry or anxiety, I cancel and break it now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for your peace that surpasses understanding to be our portion. Father, even as we leave tonight, that the yoke will be lifted and broken and that we will experience your peace, your joy, your grace, your mercy, your love. We are so thankful. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.